What is up and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, David Drogemeyer and John Kegley. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, and I also cover the Chargers for Sports Al Dente and All LA Sports website. We've been doing our own Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live, and it airs weekly on Facebook Live, and this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys. Well, we actually have some news to talk about today. The Chargers made a couple of moves, and we got to see someone back at practice, and we also saw someone not practicing. So we'll talk about our concern levels there because the Chargers have brought back a fan favorite, Dontrell Inman, the wide receiver who came to the Chargers as an undrafted free agent after playing in the CFL and now comes back to the Chargers in L.A., after 2 years. So we'll talk about that. And the Chargers also released Mike Wint, which was a surprising move. I was surprised by it, guys. They brought in Cole Mazza, who was an Alabama long snapper, also snapped in the AAF, if you remember the AAF. And then we'll also get into Keenan Allen getting back onto the practice field and Uchenna Nwosu not being on the practice field. So we'll start with that today. But in the second segment, we'll get into some power rankings. We have one of the first set of power rankings going into the regular season now by ESPN, and it also tells you who they think is on the hot seat. So we'll discuss that in the second segment, and then to wrap the show up today, we'll give a Melvin Gordon update. He had some words that he said to ESPN. Anthony Lynn spoke on the Jim Rome show about Melvin Gordon. Spoiler alert, he didn't say very much, nor did we expect him to. So we'll wrap up the show with that and just kind of give you what our confidence level is right now that Melvin Gordon will come back by week one and be ready to go against the Colts. But guys, let's start with the news. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. The Chargers have cut veteran long snapper Mike Wint, and they have signed Dontrell Inman, a former Charger. Mike Wint, I think we joked about it, guys, during the offseason that he was on the hot seat. We know when the Chargers were going through their kicking struggles, they basically blamed everyone except for the kicker himself. You know, the holder was the problem. They got rid of Drew Kaser. And then we said, hey, maybe Mike Wint's next, because who else are you going to blame besides the kickers at this point? And just like that, guys, Mike Wint is gone. Definitely wanted to send a shout out to Mike Wint, because the one thing you can do as a long snapper is just not really ever get talked about, because that means that you're making good snaps and you're not the reason for the Chargers blowing something. So the only thing we really saw from Mike Wint during the preseason was him accidentally coming onto the field and getting an unsportsmanlike conduct for a 15-yard penalty. I don't know if that's the reason he was cut, but that's the only notable Mike Wint moment that we have. But John, definitely with Mike Wint, I mean, he did as good as he could. I was surprised by it. I know they'll save a little bit of money, but not anything super significant by sticking with Cole Mazza. But I was really surprised with a guy that never has any bad snaps for the most part. I can't remember one since 2010 gets cut just like this.
Yeah, it was really shocking. I'm still trying to figure it out. I mean, if it was to save money because of all the injuries, then you didn't really save much. You're not really making much of a move here. And the only thing I can think of is we're going to see, like, in 3 months, he's going to have come up with this off the field issue that we didn't know about, and all of a sudden we're sitting here going, oh, it's a good move all of a sudden, like, yeah, there is Spylon and all those guys all over again.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I just don't get it. It makes no sense. The guy was doing great snaps and you get rid of him for a guy who has had a lot of great snaps throughout his career. I think through Alabama every single year he had more and more snaps, and he kept increasing the amount of good snaps every year. I think he increased by like at least 11 every single year. So he's an improving guy. So at least we have young talent.
Yeah, I guess we just have to trust in the genius known as Tom Telesco, right? I mean, at this point, we kind of just have to trust him and know it's going to work out with Cole Mazza. But at the same time, guys, God forbid this guy makes a bad snap on a field goal or somehow costs the Chargers a game this season, in a season where they're already going into it without Derwin James, one of their best defensive players. That's going to be really tough for a guy trying to break into the league, and that's a lot of pressure. But let's talk about the other guy who we're familiar with, Dontrell Inman, who comes back to the Chargers after a couple seasons, spent some time with the Colts, spent some time with the Bears, and was recently cut by the Patriots when Josh Gordon was reinstated by the NFL. So Dontrell Inman comes back, David, and that kind of throws a wrench into the wide receiver conversation right now, because we literally on the last show clarified how we felt about these wide receivers and who was shaping up to really, you know, make a move for a roster spot. And now you throw in a guy that you just signed that's been on the team before, kind of muddying the water somewhat for guys like Andre Patton, Artavis Scott, and Jeremy Davis. So how do you feel about the Chargers bringing in Dontrell Inman, and what do you think it does to that wide receiver competition?
So Dontrell Inman requested his release when Josh Gordon got reinstated by the NFL. So that obviously that request was granted, and the Chargers had offered him a deal from a while ago. Supposedly it was a long-standing offer. The allure of playing with Phillip Rivers was what caused Dontrell Inman to re-sign with the Chargers. And definitely this makes things a lot less clear than they were just a day ago, because Dontrell Inman's a familiar face. He knows the offense. He's comfortable with Phillip Rivers. He's not flashy, but he runs pretty good routes, and there's already a connection there. So, yeah, I mean, he's immediately coming in and taking somebody's spot. I mean, with some uncertainty with Keenan Allen's injury, I mean, I think, you know, to bring back another familiar face, someone who you know is going to be consistent, I don't think it's a bad move.
I think it forces you to ask the question whether they think Keenan Allen's injury is going to last into the regular season if by bringing in a wide receiver at this point, especially it's not just some random guy. It's a guy who's actually made the team before and has been around for a little while. I mean, he's a guy that's never averaged more than 3.6 receptions per game, and that was with the Chargers in 2016 when Keenan Allen went down with that lacerated kidney halfway through the season. That was his best season, 3.6 receptions per game. Besides that, there's 1.7, 2.5, 2.1. He's always been just a very mediocre receiver, but a reliable receiver. He runs good routes, but like you said, nothing flashy to see with Dontrell Inman. And then just to wrap up the news that we had, Keenan Allen is back at practice. So hopefully that's good news. And hopefully that means he'll absolutely be back by week one. So that's even worse news probably for guys like Andre Patton and Artavis Scott, because, hey, Dontrell Inman's going to be going at them. But, John, I don't know if Dontrell Inman is just going to be afforded a free spot on this roster by any means.
Well, I think he holds the advantage. I'm going to put that. I think he is put above Scott, Patton, and all those guys. Whoever's on the roster, whoever gets signed on the roster through transactions, he's going to be the guy who holds that spot right now. And if he gets outperformed, then yeah, he'll more than likely lose that spot. But I have a hard time thinking he's not going to get that roster spot. I feel like it basically is an automatic spot for him, unless he is outperformed. But based on what we've seen, can you really say one of those guys is going to outperform him? Is Jeremy Davis going to be better than Inman? Is Scott going to be better than Inman? I can't see it. And Inman, as you said before, he's a reliable receiver. He's more reliable than Travis Benjamin. I can tell you that. And he's got really good hands. He can catch those hard passes, something Travis Benjamin cannot do. I think he is more of a lock to make the roster, but I have to say guaranteed, I would agree. I don't think it's a guaranteed roster spot.
Yeah, I think that you have a situation where I think Andre Patton is a guy you could realistically say has more upside than Dontrell Inman, because you know what you have. You can maybe make that argument for Artavis Scott. I don't think anyone thinks Jeremy Davis is going to really do very much as a receiver and mostly just stick to special teams, which is what he's good at, but definitely throws a wrench into that situation. And then Uchenna Nwosu misses practice, so that's something we haven't heard about yet. We haven't heard the coaches comment on that situation, so we'll have to wait and see there. But not good news for a guy that's been really showing out during the preseason. But we do have power rankings, guys, and who doesn't love seeing some power rankings, especially with football right around the corner? I mean, I love seeing power rankings. It means football is close. And the Chargers come in at number 6 in the newest edition of the power rankings by ESPN. So let's go ahead and get into that, guys. But first, I need to ask you guys, did you have a long day at work? Did you have a tough day at school? Are you still stuck at the office? You guys can treat yourself to a meal that you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. Most of you are very familiar with DoorDash. I use DoorDash all the time. I mean, guys, once you take your pants off for the day, your pants aren't coming back on. And that's where DoorDash comes in, because they will bring the food to you. It might be a little awkward when you answer the door and you don't have any pants on, but the people at DoorDash are used to that kind of thing. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is so easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities. So you might find a new favorite restaurant too. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDON, guys. That's free food with the promo code LOCKEDON. $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash from the App Store and enter promo code LOCKEDON. Don't forget, guys, that's promo code LOCKEDON. You can get some free food, $5 off your first order from DoorDash. All right, guys, time to get into the second segment of the day, talking power rankings. And on today's show, we have the Chargers coming in at number 6 on ESPN's latest power rankings, which might come to some people as a little bit of a surprise, just because most recently the Chargers lost one of their best players defensively in Derwin James. And it's hard to really put that into wins. How many wins does that cost you not having Derwin James for potentially the whole season, but more likely at least, you know, 10, 11, 12 games, how many wins you lose from not having him. But obviously, guys, the people at ESPN don't think that it's a crazy big difference, because they still have the Chargers at number 6 in the latest rankings. And ahead of them are the Eagles at 5, the Rams at 4, Saints at 3, Chiefs at 2, and, you know, guess who? The Patriots come in at number 1. But they also did a who is on the hot seat for this edition of the power rankings, and they came up with a very hot take on who they think might not make the team, and they picked Cardale Jones. Okay, so maybe not an extremely hot take. I think even after the good game that Cardale Jones had, I still think he's a long shot to make this roster at this point, unless he has two fantastic games to wrap up the preseason, because like we've talked about before, Easton Stick is going to be given every chance because they spent that fifth round pick on him, and because they've seen what Cardale Jones is. Even if he had a great game, I think they know that his ceiling is only so high, and they might actually be able to groom Easton Stick into something. But David, when you see that, I know that you were questioning some of the teams above the Chargers. They do come in ahead of teams like the Steelers and the Browns and the Colts, but what part of number 6 on this power ranking list gives you some pause?
So, Daniel, I think the first 4 teams are probably correct. I mean, 2 of those teams were in the Super Bowl, and the other 2 were, you know, the ones that were ahead of us. So I don't have a problem with those. What I do have a problem with is the Eagles. I know the Eagles have a lot of talent, or supposedly have a lot of talent, but the Chargers did better than them last year, and I still think they're set up to do better than them this year. So that's the one I have a problem with. I think the rest of the list is pretty solid. I just think that there is definitely an argument that could be made that would push the Chargers ahead of the Eagles.
Well, and the Eagles kind of have one commonality with the Chargers, because they have another really good team in the Dallas Cowboys in their division. And then they have 2 teams that are basically dumpster fires with the Washington Redskins and the Giants. But they do have some good contention in that division, to the point where they might not actually win that division if the Cowboys have anything to say about it. They're both super solid. The Eagles are just so deep. I mean, they have such a deep receiving core. They have such a good offensive line when all of those guys are healthy. And we all know what Fletcher Cox and the defense has been able to do over the last few seasons. Very underrated. Malcolm Jenkins over there is super good on the back end as well. But I don't have as much of a problem with it. I just think that with the Eagles, it's so based on their quarterback coming through and having a fully healthy season, which is just something I don't know how you can be confident in at this point with Carson Wentz. Back problems are nothing to sneeze at. He's had something different pretty much every year that's ended his season, which is what led to the Nick Foles the legend talk. I mean, he basically made Nick Foles a legend by himself just by getting injured. So I think the Eagles have one of the most talented rosters in the NFL, but their offense hasn't been the same since Frank Reich went down to Indianapolis. They dipped from 28.6 points to 22.9 last year under new offensive coordinator Mike Groh. So I think they have some things to work out, guys. But I don't have a super problem with the Eagles. I think they have a really good team. I think, John, the Chargers are about right where they should be right now. I think you could make an argument that they're better than the Eagles. I think you could make an argument that they're better than the Rams, even though the Rams obviously are coming off of a Super Bowl berth. Whether you think they got should have been there or not doesn't really matter. But I think without Derwin James and without the realistic shot of the Chargers having the number one defense in the league, they still have enough on offense, even with a bad offensive line. They still have a ton of talent, still more talent than most teams have defensively. I mean, they're probably still in the top 10% of talent on the defense, even without Derwin James, which is saying a lot. But I still think coming in at six is about right for a team with a couple of big injuries and a couple of really big question marks as well.
I don't know. I'm kind of split. I look at the roster and I sit there and I go, even with the injuries, there's so much talent, but the offensive line bugs me really bad. Some injuries we have that are guys coming back, like Keenan will probably come back, Uchenna will probably come back, but just seeing them get hurt makes you think it's going to happen all over again. There's so many things on this list that make me want to just drop the Chargers a couple of spots down. Like, I think the Bears' defense might be better than our defense right now without Derwin James. I think the Cowboys with their offensive line could become a more controllable offense, not an explosive offense, but a more controlling offense compared to ours, where Rivers is going to have someone in his face every single snap. There's just so many things that I have questions about since the injuries. If you would just have Derwin James on the defense, I would say six is without a doubt the spot, and the Eagles get the tiebreaker, if you will, just because of offensive line. But with offensive line troubles, no Derwin James, and Melvin Gordon is not there either. But even without him, I think the running backs we have are still good enough to put us at six. But offensive line, Derwin James alone make me want to drop the Chargers a couple of spots down.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears, I think, without Derwin James, probably have the better defense, even though they lost a lot. We'll see if the guys they brought in can mesh, you know, flawlessly and make that still one of the top defenses in the league, especially when Vic Fangio is now in Denver. And I really am a big believer in Vic Fangio himself and that defense he was running there. They still have Akeem Hicks. They still have Khalil Mack. They still have Eddie Jackson. So it's not like they're hurting, but I think that their defense is better. I think the Chargers offense would still be better than the Bears offense, even though I like the scheme that Matt Nagy's running over there. I think with the Cowboys, pretty similar teams. Chargers have a better quarterback. Neither one of them has their best running back right now. And the Cowboys have a pretty up-and-coming defense, but I'd still take the Chargers' talent over what they have over there. So I don't have a lot of arguments, but I definitely, if someone was to, you know, argue with me and say the Chargers should be up a spot or down a couple spots, I wouldn't be too upset about it, because I know obviously what they're missing and how much better they could be if everyone could just stay healthy at the same time. But we all know that's probably too much to ask. But we do have one more segment to get into, talking about the latest Melvin Gordon news and where we stand with Melvin Gordon at this point through 2 weeks of the preseason in his holdout, coming up right after this. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of the day, talking about Melvin Gordon. I know we talked about Melvin Gordon. I mean, it seems like once or twice a week since this holdout situation came back. But randomly last night, there was a headline on ESPN.com that said, Melvin Gordon is waiting for the call. It said in quotations. So I checked it out, and it didn't really give any clarity on the situation itself, at least as far as what Melvin Gordon meant by that. It said he declined to comment on his contract status, even though him waiting for the call is somewhat commenting on his contract status. But John, when you saw that headline, were you kind of confused as to where that came from and why exactly that was considered news?
No, I basically get what it is. He's sitting in San Diego training, keeping himself prepared, and when the call happens, he's going to be ready. That's basically what this means. He's basically saying he's not sitting around just expecting the Chargers to let him sit, whatever. He's sitting there saying, I expect them to come through and get the deal done, and I'm going to keep myself ready, conditioned, strengthened and everything, keep myself healthy, and if the call comes, I'm ready to go. That's all it means, basically. I'm waiting for the call because we just got a deal done or something. It's just when the time comes, he's ready. That's all it means.
Which to me doesn't really seem like news, because I feel like that's kind of been his status the whole time. It's basically him just saying, hey, all it's going to take for me to get back on the field is the Chargers calling me and giving me a better contract. So that's not really moving anything as far as the needle of whether he signs or not by him making that statement. You know, he's waiting by the phone, ready for the Chargers to call so he can get back on the field. But Melvin, the question is, what are you going to do if the Chargers don't call? And David, that's the situation we find ourselves in now. And Anthony Lynn actually was on the Jim Rome show, got to talk about Melvin Gordon a little bit, and he was asked straight up, do you expect Melvin Gordon week one against the Colts? And his answer was simple. He said, I don't know. You know, he basically said, hey, the front office handles those things. I've talked to Melvin. I've told him that we've missed him and we can't wait to get him back out here, but I understand what he's going through, blah, blah, blah. Very politically correct answer. But David, it's a little bit scary just to see Anthony Lynn, I mean, basically just being here with the rest of us and not knowing whether something is going to get done or not. I mean, he could have came out and said, hey, I have confidence in the front office that they're going to be able to get a deal done and have Melvin Gordon back for the start of the regular season. Instead, you just get an I don't know, which is not very easy on any Charger fan's conscience.
It's definitely not easy, but it's expected. The Chargers are firm believers of not negotiating in the media whatsoever, and that includes the head coach, who speaks to the media more than anybody else. So I think that just goes along with the MO of Tom Telesco in the front office. They don't want to show any favoritism one way or another when they're in contract negotiations. So I just think that's typical Tom Telesco. And, you know, do I think Melvin Gordon's going to be back? I think I'm right along with Coach. I don't know. But what I do know is the longer he stays out, Daniel, the more that's going to hit his wallet, and it's going to get close to over $1 million in fines here very, very soon. So I think as those dollars start to stack up, I think, you know, Melvin Gordon might miss a game or two, but I don't think he can afford to miss many more game checks.
Yeah, exactly, because these preseason game checks are basically the same as regular game checks, and he's gotten even a little bit more testy on social media. I saw the other day some guy, Jason Smith, that I had never heard of, posted and said Chargers want to give Melvin Gordon about $10 million a year. Only three running backs make more than $10 million a year. And he's saying he's waiting for a phone call. He's getting such tremendously bad advice for whoever that I feel bad for the guy. He'll ruin his career if he stays held out through the regular season. And Melvin Gordon came in, saw a blue check mark, and said, and you are? And the guy put, new phone, who dis? And Melvin Gordon put, exactly. So it's not a good look for Melvin Gordon talking to trolls on Twitter. I mean, he shouldn't be concerning himself with that, but I think it's fair to wonder if Melvin Gordon is getting good advice from his team at this point. Because, John, at this point, what is the confidence level that Melvin Gordon's going to be back? I don't know if it helps him to not play regular season games outside of the fact that he's not going to get injured. He's still going to lose a lot of money. I don't know if he'll be able to make it back with the next contract that he gets if the Chargers don't franchise tag him. So there's only a few different options that Melvin Gordon can really do right now. But what is your confidence level that we're going to see Melvin Gordon week one?
I would have to put it at maybe 20%. And I think something that I think there's a chance he could be waiting on some other things, like maybe let's see how Le'Veon Bell plays. You know, if Le'Veon Bell, after missing a whole year of football, is playing like crap, then he's probably going to reconsider it. And because now people are going to go, well, Le'Veon Bell missed the whole year. If Melvin Gordon misses a whole year too, he's going to be playing just as bad. I think there's a lot of things he's going to be waiting on. I also think he might want to be missing a few games just to prove his point and see if he can get his point across. Like, hey, without me, you guys can't run the ball. So now I have more leverage. But if, say, Justin Jackson is taking off, getting like 300-yard games, and Austin Eckler's just going off in the passing game, I think he comes back to try to keep his name safe. But I'd give it 20% week one.
That's scary, John. I mean, I get exactly why you're saying that, but I think a lot of people thought this was just posturing by Melvin Gordon, but if you're putting it at a 20% chance that he's back by week one, I know you're saying, hey, he could be back, you know, week two, and this whole conversation doesn't really matter. You're still getting him for most of the games, but 20% is, I mean, very, very low. I think right now my percentage is about 40%. So I'm not much higher than you. I still think it's more likely right now that he does miss some games. I don't think he's going to sit out until week 10. My mind could change on that very easily because this is a very fluid situation. But David, you're the last one of us. If you had to put a percentage on it right now, what's the percentage you would put on your faith of Melvin Gordon showing up for the game against the Colts?
Surprise, Daniel. I'm the optimistic one. I think anybody who's listened to us before knows that that's my MO. But I'm going to go just slightly more optimistic than you. I'm going to put it at 50%. And the only reason why I have it that high is solely based on the money he's losing. If the Chargers are indeed finding him the max, which was $30,000 per day in training camp and a little over $300,000 per game, that is really going to hurt. And that's the reason why I think he's not going to want to miss many games. And, you know, it might just sway him to come back. And I know also he hates being away. He wants to be with his teammates. He still communicates with them on social media and probably over the phone. Melvin Ingram said he's talked to him. Phillip Rivers said he's talked to him. Keenan says he's talked to him. So I think, you know, those two things mixed together are going to make it really difficult for Melvin Gordon to follow through with, you know, potentially sitting out multiple games. I think week one, it's 50%. I think past that, it's going to get even more of a higher percentage game by game.
Well, I think there's two sides to look at that. If he plans on sitting out the whole entire year, then you could have a case with that. But if he plans on playing week 10, more than likely the Chargers are going to waive those fines. I'm going to give you like a 95% chance that they waive all the fines that he has. And I think he knows that. So I think him sitting out till week 10 means nothing to him if it comes down to fines. But if he plans to miss the whole year, then I could see the fines playing a role at some point.
Oh, I do not think if he stays out till week 10, they would waive the fines.
There's a high chance that the Chargers will do anything to convince him to get on the field regardless of the contract. They want him to be on that field, helping them get to the playoffs and continuing the success they had from last year. And there might be something where they might be saying right now, like, hey, if you show up, we'll waive your fines and we can discuss a deal at the end of the year or let you test free agency, whatever the case may be. But I think there's no way that Melvin's just going to let money fall away when he is on a rookie contract. If he's doing that, then he is really getting bad advice from his team.
Yeah, I mean, I just disagree because I think at that point, if at week 10, the Chargers aren't going to be, you know, sitting at Melvin Gordon's doorstep begging him to come back. I mean, at that point, he either has to come back or the year doesn't count. So he's not going to have much leverage to say, oh, hey, I'll come back, but you're going to have to waive all the fines because he has no choice whether to come back or not if he wants any money or if he wants to hit free agency after this season. I get what you're saying as far as, hey, he really wants to play. And that he's, you know, they could pull out all the stops trying to get him to sign. And I think they would waive him if it's earlier in the season or before the season starts. I do not think the Chargers are going to waive any fines if it goes midway through the season or gets to week 10. I'd be very surprised. But this is Melvin Gordon we're talking about. We'd be kidding ourselves if we thought this was the last Melvin Gordon conversation that was going to take place. Because, hey, we're still waiting, guys. We're still waiting to see whether he comes. But I think we've all been impressed with what the other running backs have done in his absence. And that's kind of what we have to focus on and hope fills that void until Melvin Gordon gets back. But that is going to wrap things up for today. Also, guys, make sure to keep your eyes out today for John Kegley on the Locked On NFL podcast with Matt Williamson and Brian Peacock, host of the Locked On 49ers as well, because he got on there to talk some Chargers with them. So keep your eyes out for that. And I mean, Locked On NFL does great work either way, so you should be following them regardless. But until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter as well at Locked On LAC and to like the Facebook page, Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from. And if you want to get your voice on the Locked On Chargers podcast, you know what you have to do, guys. Just call into the Locked On Chargers voicemail line. Every voicemail gets put on the show. The number is 323-524-7924. We want to do a voicemail show soon, guys, so give us your questions on there. Lewis Bentzman, you always have some questions. Call into the show, man. We can talk about Mike Pouncey all you want, but hey, he hasn't played in the preseason, so that's why we haven't talked about him yet. But we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.